Ignatius Press has come out with a film on the life of Pope Paul VI. Pope Paul VI, someone who was the Holy Father before I was born, so someone whom I know very little about. He was the Holy Father from the mid-1960s until the end of the 70s. Do you know what Paul VI's very first act as the Holy Father was? The very first thing he did after the ceremony in which he was elected as the new Pope. He went to confession. He went and he knelt down with a very elderly priest who had been his confessor for nearly 40 years, dating all the way back to the time that he was in the seminary. And he knelt down in front of this priest and he says, "Father, I'm going to need a lot of help." And this wise elderly priest says, "God put you in this mess. You have every right to expect that he will help you." And Paul VI responds, "But Father, how will I not be crushed?" He says, "You just continue to celebrate your daily mass, and God will give you all the grace that you need." And all of a sudden, there was a scene that flashed back to the time where he was a young priest. The moment in his life which started to send him on the trajectory to where one day he would be elected Holy Father. He was a young priest, and there was a bishop who was looking for a priest secretary. And this bishop wanted to find somebody worthy of the office, and so he decided to interview a number of priests. And he asked them one question when they came in. They would come before him and sit at his desk, and he would say to them, around the time of World War II, "If Germany invaded us," they were Italian, "if Germany invaded Italy, what would you do the moment that you got the news?" And one priest says, "Oh, Bishop, I would go into hiding so that hopefully I could still celebrate the sacraments for the people." Another priest says, I would take up arms. "Bishop, we have a right to defend ourselves." And so forth. The future Paul VI says, "Bishop, I would go and offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And then I would proceed with my day. I would do the absolute greatest thing that I could do as a priest." Why would Paul VI, in his first act as Pope, go to confession? My brothers and sisters, what is the very first exhortation our Lord Jesus Christ gives in his public ministry? The very first command that he makes. He says, "Repent and believe in the gospel." And the two always have to go hand in hand. He does not come out and say, "Repent." Nor does he say, "Believe in the gospel." But repent and believe in the gospel. My brothers and sisters, without faith, why would we really seek repentance? But something that we don't often think about is that without repentance, our faith becomes inactive. It becomes sterile and stagnant and dry and lifeless. The two must always go hand in hand. I remember years ago, the very first book I read about a holy man or woman, a saint, hopefully a future saint, was on Pope John Paul II. And I remember reading this book when I was young, I was 18 years old, and I come upon this line that says, "The Holy Father goes to confession every week." I thought, gosh, that's a little extreme, don't you think? The next book I read on Mother Teresa, Mother Teresa goes to confession every week. I started thinking, well, maybe there's something to this. Then a book on Padre Pio, he not only went to confession every week, but sometimes at certain periods of his life, even daily. Because they knew that as someone advances in the faith, there's all the greater need to be converted interiorly. You know, they weren't going in there and making stuff up. Well, Padre Pio, he had a little bit of a temper problem, right? So he'd find himself in the confession often. But Mother Teresa, when she would go to confession, she would confess the first movements of her heart. If impatience or distrust or anger registered the tiniest bit in her bodily actions, in her gestures, in her facial expressions, She wanted that to be uprooted. She did not want anything in her soul that was not worthy of God. My brothers and sisters, why do most people who stop going to Mass stop going? A number of years before I was ordained, at a family gathering, an uncle of mine, and all my uncles, all my family is Catholic, both sides, my mom, my dad's, and I have 15 uncles, and this was years ago, so no one would know, if you know my uncles, who they are. So this one uncle of mine, we're sitting down at dinner, maybe 3 years before my ordination, he says, "Hey, Jer, don't expect me to start coming to Mass just because you become a priest. He says, I'm a little worried if I enter through the doors, the church would come crumbling down." He did not say, "Don't expect me at Mass because I don't believe." He said, "Don't expect me at Mass because I'm not ready to repent. I'm not ready to let go of a certain way of life." Most people stop going to church because they fall into some sin that they don't want to let go of. And then, my brothers and sisters, when do most people return to church? And it's so beautiful, and this happens over and over again. They'll come into the confessional and they'll say, "Father, I'm ready to let go of that sin. I'm ready to return to Mass." Repentance has a direct impact on our faith. If we are not repenting, we will be decreasing in our faith. You know, there's a spiritual truth. The spiritual life, our interior lives, it's one of the most dynamic realities in the universe. If we're in a state of grace and God dwells in us, there's a dynamism there. And what that means is, we never stay the same interiorly. We are either increasing in our faith or we are decreasing. And thanks be to God, that means that no matter how far we might fall, there's always the chance to turn around. But it also means that no matter how far we advance, we can never become complacent. As soon as we think, "Gosh, you know, I've come this far, things are good, right? Why do I have to go any further?" We start to revert. I close with this little story. One of the most powerful homilies that I heard in my youth, actually one of the only homilies I remember from my youth, it was actually a homily in which a priest said something he did not intend to say, where he scrapped the entire homily. One of the shortest homilies I ever heard at a Sunday Mass. A priest of our diocese, whom I think is one of the finest priests I've ever met, a holy priest. He got up in the pulpit and he read the gospel and he just looked out at all of us and he became emotional and he began to cry. And he looked out and he said, "My brothers and sisters, please pray for my conversion." He said, "Yesterday I was at my mom's bedside on the East Coast. She has very little time left to live. And I told her that I had to get back to my parish, that I'd been gone already for too long. And she looked at me right in the eyes and she said, 'But son, you're going to come back, right? You're going to be with me when I pass, won't you?' He said, I looked at my mom and I lied to her. I said, 'Of course, Mom, I would do anything to be here with you.' He said, 'I knew I wouldn't return.'" Now, regardless of that priest's culpability, the situation, maybe the sin was entirely mitigated. He was trying to act out of love. But I remember as a little boy, what it revealed to me is this holy man wanted to be perfect. He didn't just want to settle. He wanted everything. He didn't want to make any excuses. He wanted to be entirely given to God. My brothers and sisters, we were made to be saints. And if we're not striving for that, we will forever lack a certain peace that God wants to give us. There will be a joy that eludes us. because we're not living for what we were made for. Let's ask our Lord today for the grace to fully convert, that we might fully believe.